begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
Oh yeah, we're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, also from the internet.
Enough said. So I feel like the last couple of weeks I've been angry about kind of stuff that's not actually stories, but is stuff that's going on with the production. And I'm going to do my very best not to have any of that tonight. Last week it was about lack of bandwidth. And the week before that, it was just general kind of audio crap going on with the mixing desk and so on. This week, I'm just going to try and only get angry about the news.
Good. Sounds splendid.
I make no promises.
No, obviously not.
I would now if I'm willing to go to that that extreme of not getting angry about stuff. I would like other people to meet me halfway, and they can give something up that I want people to stop doing, and that is saying awesome when they don't actually mean awesome. Awesome doesn't mean good. Awesome doesn't mean neat. Awesome doesn't mean pretty cool. Awesome is an overwhelming feeling. It is not a minor feeling. And people say awesome all the time for stuff that has not induced awe in them at all. Same thing pretty much with amazing. Are you really amazed by the size of the moon, or was it quite predictable? Are you amazed? Because if you're amazed, welcome to planet Earth. I guess you're new here. But
man,
just,
you're such a hard ass.
Now the amazing thing, you know, I'm not so caught up on the amazing thing, but the awesome thing, just stop. You don't mean it. Use a different word.
Like totes.
Go to, totes.
Amazeballs. Can we say amazeballs?
Sure.
Totes amazeballs.
Totes amazeballs. Pretty great.
Choice.
Or you could say that
groovy.
Moon.
That, wicked.
That moon is large. Or
that moon is quite large and yellow.
Or the weather today is lovely.
The weather today is satisfyingly pleasant.
It's yes, it's not like last week when it was inclement.
Is that how you say that?
No, I was having a bit of fun with myself.
Because I don't know how to say that word. Inclement?
Now we've got no chance of saying it right.
I like sometimes deliberately mispronouncing words, though. Yeah. Epitome is my favourite.
Yeah, I like. And hyperbole.
Hyperbole, oh yes. That's
give me a hyperbole
too.
Anytime. And emphasis.
The emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah, classic. Classic, that one. Classic.
That's a doozy.
I think that one, it might actually, unfortunately, be from Friends, though. Is that right?
I'm sure. Yep, maybe.
So, it being when we're recording, the 25th of June, and Google's Reader turning off on July the 1st, only 6 days away, I have made the jump. And this week, all my stories come from Feedly.
That's where most people seem to be heading.
Yep.
I didn't really use Google Reader, so I don't give a shit.
And so previously I'd tried, what was it called, the Old Reader? Is that what mm-hmm. it was called? It was something like the Old Reader. Yeah, theoldreader.com. And I guess that was, you know, when they first announced that they were doing this, dumping Reader. I went and tried out the Old Reader, and it wasn't very good. I was very, the import process was slow. Like, it took a day for them to get my feeds in, and they didn't get any of my tags and so on that I noticed back then. But with Feedly, the second I logged in, because I logged in with my Google credentials, it had all of my feeds there already. Just instantly.
Magic.
Well, you know, technology
That's
is
awesome.
Indistinguishable from magic. And it's got all my tags as well, all my old tags. And I've got friggin' many.
Amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate your effort. You've really come halfway at least. So, I mean, I've got like projects that I've been, you know, planning for years, and they, in the early stages, involve tagging lots of stories that I think are relevant to the project. And, you know, I can export them from Reader, and then I've got like an XML file or something dumb like that. But that's not really exactly the same as a cool web interface that I can use from, you know, wherever and on my phone and so on. So Feedly, I'm pretty delighted with. I think that Google Reader going away, it might turn out to be quite a good thing, because Google Reader was so dominant that it was sucking all of the oxygen out of kind of news syndication. Is that the right word? Curation? That's not even right either. Anyway, RSS Reader Space, they'd sucked it all the oxygen out of it, and so no one else was really able to get either any traction, or really, because of that lack of traction, they weren't really able to do anything interesting.
It's that thing though, monopolies, you know, don't always do us any favours, and while I don't think Google is necessarily trying to monopolise the space, they just kind of tend to.
Because their stuff tends to be really good.
Their stuff is good, and you've already got a Google account, so why not?
Well, I think it was more than just why not. Moving to
Reddit. Well, I mean, it's also really good, but I mean, it's that ease of entry. You've already got a Google account. You don't have to do anything. The barrier to entry is incredibly low.
But so
they have a good product. So, you know.
So with Google going away, a bunch of other people have announced projects. Obviously, there were already a bunch that were ongoing. Like I think the old Reddit had been going for a little while. And Feedly was originally built on the top of Google's Reader infrastructure, and they've, in preparation for the switch off, they've kind of built their own back end.
Over the top of the Google Reader APIs.
Yeah, yeah.
And they obviously replaced all their API calls with internal stuff.
Which is pretty impressive.
Yep.
That must have been a big deal.
Also a big opportunity.
They don't appear to have asked me for any money yet, but I hope they do at some point, because I feel like losing Reader was quite anxiety inducing. I never had any doubt that there would be an alternative that I would like that would come along, but I wasn't delighted about it, because Reader was pretty good and I had been using it for years, you know. So I wasn't happy about it being turned off, and my assumption is that if I give whoever provides my Reader long term now, if I give them some actual money, maybe they will stick around.
Yes, or make some other deal with them to look at their ads or something.
Well, ads don't seem to have been adequate for Reader. Were there even ads in Reader? I think there weren't even ads in Reader.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Google could make ads work for them.
Yeah.
I just don't think they wanted to anymore. I don't know why they got.
But the thing about looking at ads is that you still aren't the customer then. You are the product, and the advertisers are the customers. So I would rather be the customer. And because if you're the customer, the company might have some interest in providing you with the features that you want and that actually make things better for you. If their interest is in showing you ads, for instance, they might want you to load new things quite often. And if their interest is not in showing you ads, then they might have, you know, quite a smooth interface that doesn't ever need to do that.
Oh, for totes.
And now it might just be a case, like with Instapaper, I think you can do like a monthly thing, but you also have to buy the app, right? And so, to use the Instapaper service, well, I mean, I guess you could probably do web only, but I don't really see any point in that. To even use it at all, you sort of have to start off by paying the money and becoming an actual customer.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Digger have also released the beta version of a Reader, which, you know, I guess maybe I will try. The one thing I am worried about is that lots of these people will probably have a tool for importing from Google Reader, which is only any use, I guess, as long as Reader's up. But will there be a decent export from Feedly and, you know, import into Google Reader from Feedly?
Well, I think more and more, though, services like that are developing a relatively open infrastructure that people are embracing, you know, open formats for interchange and things like that.
Yeah.
I think they understand that, you know, that people want to be able to move their data and own their data and move it from place to place.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. Geez, I mean, looking back, what was the previous thing that I used? I'm not sure. I don't know if there
is. You just had a lot of post-it notes stuck to your monitor.
Is that how I did it?
Maybe you used bookmarks.
I think I used bookmarks. I think I had a custom start page in my browser with HTML links to all my favorite sites, and I would just open them one after the other and read them.
I used to...
That seems like a waste of time.
It does. I used to use Delicious, but not the same way that I used Reader, but that was what I used to, you know.
You know what? I've never used tags. Delicious. Never.
Oh, well.
I've never been a Deliciouser. So last week, as I mentioned earlier, I'm not being angry about production stuff anymore, and sort of incidental stuff. But last week, I was angry about lack of bandwidth with Orcon, and it's kind of ruining any sort of streaming fun that I could have. And clearly, based on our testing, with you simultaneously opening up the same YouTube page as me, and you being able to stream it just fine in 1080p. Now, we're both on Orcon, right? So they have sufficient bandwidth in your pool, and my assumption was that they didn't have it in mine. And they said last week, like the next day, I griped a little bit on... I whined. I did never complain.
You were a squeaky wheel.
I was a squeaky wheel. And they said that they'd actually coincidentally added bandwidth overnight that night. But also that day, something else happened that made me feel like a complete fucking cock. And that was they released Genius Go.
Yeah, have you played with it?
I've played with it. And it's so cool. I really regret giving them shit. Like on the same day that they were releasing this thing that I am sure they were incredibly excited and proud of. Because it is so cool. I mean, it's obvious. You know, it's not like, oh, wow, what a brilliant idea. When I heard about it, I was like, oh, cool, finally someone's doing that. Probably other people are also doing it. But it's
So Genius Go is an app you can put on your smartphone, and it can, if you have a Genius router at home and you have your phone line through Genius, which is Orcon's, you know, VoIP phone line service, it's an app you put on your smartphone, and it is your home phone then. You can, you know, with a Wi-Fi connection or whatever, you can just make and receive phone calls on your cell phone that are actually going through your landline.
Yep.
So you can effectively make free local calls. You can...
As long as you have a data connection.
As long as you have a decent data connection. Now, when I first read it, I thought, oh, okay, so this is just going to connect to my wireless router. As long as I'm connected to, you know, my wireless router at home, then I can have, you know, it's just like another handset for my phone at home. It wasn't until I installed it at work and made a phone call from my home phone at work that I realized exactly what I was actually dealing with.
Yeah.
It's your home phone in your pocket at all times.
And that includes when you're at home. So it's like having, when you're at home, it's like having another handset extension. So when the main phone rings, your cell phone will also ring simultaneously. So the first time that I should I even admit my ridiculousness? So I was in the office and I called home to talk to the girl, and coincidentally, my cell phone started to ring, and I answered it. and how surprised was I when it was me saying hello, 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 hello?
Hilarious. That is awesome.
I mean, of course, I knew before I'd even finished pushing the button. But when my phone first rang, I was like, "Oh, that's funny. I wonder if that's the girl calling me."
So what I found was that when I've been at home and the phone has rung, I found it takes about two rings before my cell phone picks up that there's an incoming call.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have the same experience.
I actually haven't noticed that.
Right. But otherwise, it seems to be working fine. It's great for outgoing calls. I've done it over 3G reasonably successfully.
Yeah.
Over Wi-Fi, it's fine. In the office, the Wi-Fi in the office doesn't actually work with it because there's an overjudicious firewall that blocks basically all ports above 1024, and I'm not sure which port it's trying to use, but it's one of them above 1024.
Right.
So, obviously, it's not going to make it through all the firewalls and stuff, but, yeah, it's pretty cool.
What's the bit rate? Does it cost less to do that on 3G than to make a call with and actually pay mobile
carrier rates? Well, I guess it depends on your data and minutes plan. I've got 1.5 gigs a month and 200 minutes, so it's probably, you know, a wash, really. I don't think it makes much difference. Although, actually, it does tell you. In the Genius Go app, it's got a handy little bandwidth usage meter, so it'll tell you exactly how much bandwidth you've used through the app.
Well, unfortunately, mine's not here. It's in the.
I'm just gonna open mine up and have a look at it now.
Right. So I strongly like that app that Orcon has released.
And does it seem maybe it only tells you over the 3G usage as well.
Right.
So the data I've used, you know, I've used almost 1/3 of a megabyte making a phone call over 3G.
Yeah.
Almost 1/3 of a megabyte.
Yeah. So I'm delighted by that, but I am not overwhelmed by a feeling of reverence.
It's got chatting in it as well, if you give a shit about that sort of thing.
Yeah, you can send texts.
You can send, yeah, like instant messages to other people who have the Genius Go app.
And it appears to send normal texts to some people.
Oh, does it?
I think so.
I also had this thing when one of my contacts joined Genius Go, it kept telling me that they had joined, which was frustrating.
Right.
But it stopped doing that now, so that's good.
15 minutes.
That's pretty good timing. I reckon we could probably get on with the news, unless there's anything you want to talk about. What have you been up to?
Oh, you know, just work stuff.
Just work stuff.
Actually, I'm learning a new programming language because I'm trying to put some of my little useful apps on the on a Mac as well.
Oh yeah.
And it turns out what I thought I could do was just, I'll be like, well, I've written these in C# and Visual Studio, so I can probably just, you know, use Mono develop and bits and pieces on a Mac to port them across. And then I looked at what's actually involved in writing front-end code on a Mac, and I was like, no, fuck this.
Surely it's not that hard.
It's very different.
Yeah.
Really, really, really different from what I've been used to in you know, not particularly high-level Windows programming.
Yeah.
So I found a program. I found a piece of software called Xojo, X-O-J-O. It used to be called Real Basic.
Yeah.
It's just a basic programming, but it's got a it's fully abstracted GUI and programming language. So you can basically design an app and then deploy a, you know, a Cocoa or Carbon, whatever it is, version of it, and a Windows version of it.
So I mean, I think it has to be easy to make Apple GUI stuff, because Apple coders seem to manage it, and most of those guys are fucking knobs.
It's not hard. It's just really, well, it's kind of hard, but it's also really, really different. It's just, it's, you know, the patterns for design and stuff are very different to what I'm used to, and I was just like, I can't be bothered learning a whole new way of making front end stuff.
Ah, so that's why you put BusyBox. No, what's it called? After Mac. No, what's it called?
I don't know.
The thing where you run an Apple on a non-Apple machine.
Yeah, I'm running OS X on Mac on VMware on my laptop, which is not strictly legal.
Not strictly. Strictly speaking, you're not meant to do that. How much did you pay for that OS X?
Well, even if I'd paid for it, it wouldn't matter because I'm not allowed to run it on non-Apple hardware.
No. Naughty! You're in so much trouble.
Mm.
You're in deep poo. So yes, the stories this week come from Feedly. So if there are any problems with the quality of our analysis, it's not my fault. It's Feedly.
And now the news.
Is Slingshot on there? We're going to talk about Slingshot.
Let's see. I can't. Yep, there's a tab that says slings on it. I'll put that first. Then Slingshot due for film industry collision. This is from StuffCoinZ, so probably it's a bullshit. The country's third largest internet provider, Slingshot, is likely to be on a collision course with Hollywood after launching the Global Mode service, the Telecommunications Users Association says. Now, I remember when MaxNet did this very briefly, for about 6 hours, they did this. Or did they even just announce it in the
process? It was a few days. No, it was active for a few days.
And they had advice from some...
Well, they didn't, but NBR got advice.
From someone, maybe the Law Society, or maybe one of the big name...
A lawyer.
I think it was a big name one, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm gonna get the details. You just talk.
And they said it was probably legal to provide the service, but there was a question of, you know, the end user had to abide by the terms and conditions of the site that they were accessing. So Slingshot probably won't get in trouble, although they might receive some pressure. They probably can't actually get in legal trouble for this.
So,
but if their customers, you know, break the terms and conditions of it, yeah.
Chapman Tripp, principal Justin Graham.
Chapman Tripp, right? One of the big
Chapman
names.
Tripp,
yeah.
Said specifically. I'll read this quote. I'd expect to see increasing activity of this kind in the space. It is consistent with New Zealand's policy on intellectual property, parallel importing, and geographic restrictions, namely that geographic restrictions are not consumer-friendly and New Zealand consumers should be able to access content in a competitive and cost-effective environment.
Oi! I love it when lawyers say stuff that I think sounds really great.
So ultimately, it's probably not legal to provide the service, but we are then likely to be breaching the terms of the websites that provide the access. And therefore, maybe arguably we aren't actually entitled to the license to the content that we would be.
But it's not an ISP that gets that license anyway.
No, but we as clients. Yeah, exactly.
It's not Slingshot's problem. It's Dylan Smith, Slingshot customer's problem.
Yeah, I mean, this article is specifically based on something Paul Brislin said, and I've actually told, I argued with him a bit on Facebook about this today, that I think he's wrong.
Yeah.
I would be highly surprised if Hollywood gives a flying fuck
what Slingshot does. As well. Yeah, I'd be very surprised.
And yeah, there's really, you know, there's nothing like it. There's businesses specifically established to do this. You know, Unblock Us is one that I use, and obviously there's lots of VPN businesses that make
Discourse Cohen's head /VPN. It's surprisingly inexpensive.
That make their
unrelated
make their business largely related to this issue.
Yeah,
I don't think Slingshot's going to have any problem, but Slingshot's whole marketing angle on this is it's a service that you,
yeah,
as a conscientious host, yeah, can provide your overseas guests.
Yeah, well, so I mean, we know what they really mean.
When you've got your friend staying from America, and he's like, oh God, I really want to log on to Hulu so I can catch up on the latest episode of Shark Tank, then he can now. Yay. By the way, Shark Tank, very disappointing. It's basically this Dragon's Den. Not what I was hoping for at all.
Have you seen The Hero?
No.
It's got Dwayne Johnson as a reality show host. And it's actually a reality show. It's not even fiction. Well, I mean, it's as fictional as all reality shows. Anyway, never mind. It's not time for, I can't even remember what we call that. What's your auntie been talking about? What's your auntie been sending you?
What's your auntie been talking about?
On VPN. I mean VHS.
So anyway, that's interesting from the old Slingshot.
Yeah. So someone just said that Netflix is not available in their country, and is he trying to use global mode something something? Global mode's not using for someone in the chat room. Not working for someone in the chat room to get to Netflix. Sorry, Netflix is not available in your country yet. Enter your email and we'll let you know when Netflix is available.
I think global mode is not a VPN. I'm pretty sure it's one of the DNS services that I'm pretty sure it's just a variation on the DNS trick services that people use.
I think it has to be because the VPN stuff is, it's kind of a dumb brute force way to do it. And
well, the other thing with a VPN is it's complicated in terms of routing, especially from an ISP perspective, and it's pushing a lot of stuff through a single pipe.
Yeah.
So it's probably not a VPN, it's probably just a DNS.
The internet is a series of pipes.
Yep. But yay, Slingshot. Interesting development.
Good for you, Slingshot. I'm still never, ever, ever, ever going to be a customer, but good for you, even so.
I'd really like to see Orcon do this, just, you know, nudge Orcon.
You know, not saying anything, but I'd like to see you do it now. So next story, where's my button? Oh God, I've got so many monitors.
Next story.
Trapped, now there's a reason that I'm doing this story. Trapped 23 hours under a quad bike, a Fielding farm worker may have to spend a few more nights in hospital. Because he was, you know, obviously it was cold. His survival story attributed to the hand of God, a running engine, and 6 layers of clothing.
Let's go through these one at a time.
Yeah, all right. Let's do that.
Basically, the survival is that, he didn't die of hypothermia.
He didn't die of hypothermia.
So because he was dressed warmly.
That's right.
An engine stayed running, generating heat.
Yes.
And
an incredibly powerful spirit that created the universe and lives above the sky, I don't know, like spooned with him.
Oh, that's nice of him.
Now, which of these is the more plausible reason that he survived? Could it be the 6 layers of clothing? Is it possible that there was actually no deity involved at all?
You're not understanding it properly, though. Why did he put 6 layers of clothing on?
Because Jeebus told him to in the middle of his brain.
Probably.
No, because he's meant to have free will, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he was free to ignore the advice from the sky ghost talking in his brain, you know, the desert spirit, saying, hey, you should probably put on 5 more layers of clothing. I mean, he wanted to just wear stubbies and a wife beater and jandals. You know, that's what he wanted to wear in June out in the rain and sleet. Yeah, that's what he was planning on wearing until, you know, a millennia-old titan advised him otherwise. Anyway, that's why I thought that story is interesting, because it's... journalists.
Next story.
That's why. Because it's journalists. Pedestrian hit by a car in Auckland CBD. Now, I can only assume that this was a visitor from Wellington.
Oh my God. You've made the same observation about Wellington than I have, haven't you?
They can't cross the road without getting hit by cars and buses.
People in Wellington don't understand how pedestrian crossings work. What the fuck? Like, every time I've been to Wellington, I always standing there patiently waiting for the buzzer to go. It's not going to take long. It'll go soon. And then they fucking just walk out in the middle of the road.
And get hit by a bus.
In fact, every time I've been to Wellington, I have witnessed someone hit by a car. Not actually seen them hit by a car on any of those occasions, but there has been a pedestrian traffic injury within my immediate vicinity.
Right. I don't know what it is. I mean, this is probably unfair to Wellingtonians to say that this person hit by a car in Auckland was a Wellingtonian, but they almost certainly were. I'd say, I mean, it's not 100%, but it's probably 98%. The thing is that in Wellington, they have no excuse for getting hit by cars and buses because, like, the maximum width of a road in Wellington is, like, one car wide.
The other thing, of course, the other danger of crossing the road without looking at Wellington is they've got fucking trolley buses that aren't that loud.
Yeah. Trolley buses, eh? I love the overhead lines with the trolley buses. It looks so archaic. But
turns out they don't work so well when there's ridiculously strong winds.
Yeah. I hope everyone's safe.
I think everyone came through that okay, but a few trolley bus lines got broken.
Yeah.
And obviously rail as well. So when the power lines don't work for the trolley buses and the rails don't work for the trains, then Wellington's fucked.
And they experience
public transport's great, but, you know, you might just want to look at some diversity.
Also have a bicycle and not so many hills. It's a problem that Wellington and Auckland both have. We've got so many hills that riding from some places seems to be all right. Like, there's some nice flat bits into the city from out west, but kind of ringing the city is just, man, ridges and valleys everywhere. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, there's some ways that are easy to go and some ways that are not. I remember when I used to live in like Eden Terrace and work in like Ponsonby, I could kind of do it on a bike, not too hard. But there are, you know, if you wanted to go like from where I lived in Eden Terrace down into town, then getting back up was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Plan your route very carefully to have the lightest grades.
I plan all my routes very carefully.
Next story.
There's an order of...
Next story.
Facebook archive tool exposed contact info for 6 million users by accidentally setting the NSA flag.
The what?
That last bit I'm not sure about. I assume that there's some kind of NSA flag and that if that's set, you can see other people's data, other people's private data. I'm only 25%. Absolutely certain 100% of the time that it was something like that.
Sure, sure.
6 million users were exposed in this data breach. Can you imagine that happening in New Zealand? No, because there aren't 6 million people here, you fucking tool. Obviously not. You math magician.
Don't we all have 3 Facebook accounts, though?
I have... Well, it depends on what you count. I guess I kind of have 2 because I set one up for work. It's not really, though. I mean, it's just really a page. Does that count as an account? Maybe it does.
You
can choose who your post is. How about
account? I mean, your page has to be owned by an actual account, doesn't it? Who knows? It's a mystery.
There's some complicated stuff there, actually, about like who the first administrator was and whether that person could ever be unadministrator without everything falling over. Last time I looked, it was a problem, but they may have fixed it. I don't spend a lot of time using Facebook. You'll be very surprised.
Don't fry your Facebook guy, then.
All right. Okay, I won't.
No, just, you know, as a general business on the internet rule.
Yeah, it's a good idea not to. So are we going to talk about the GCSB spy bill stuff? We're going
to
do that?
I would love to.
Maybe we should have someone on. Let's have a guest on who can actually talk about it.
We should do that because I don't know enough about it. Yeah. Not that I don't care because I kind of do. I just am lazy and a bit ambivalent and haven't really done the research that I probably should do before I talk about it.
Yeah. Winston Peters, who is in favour of the bill, apparently, today suggested that people shouldn't try and 1984 his ass, and he's a giant hypocrite. Also, Peter Dunn, who previously was being relied on for support for the bill, now he doesn't even have a party or funding, so who knows what's going to happen there. John Key is basically sort of doing reversals, but it's still going to suck, I imagine. Now, here's my problem with this whole thing. We have multiple intelligence agencies, and we have multiple sort of policing agencies, including the police, all of whom are meant to do kind of distinct jobs and have, you know, kind of distinct privileges that we give them, not rights that they have, privileges that we've decided that they should have to police us or spy on us or spy on foreign nationals or, you know, maintain the security of our networks and our communications infrastructure. And all these people are meant to do these different things. Part of the problem here is that GCSB have been doing the police's job for them, at least partly, because they kind of have the expertise in doing this wiretapping stuff and communications interception stuff that our New Zealand police force don't appear to have.
But yeah, I mean, there's...
Yeah.
From a practical and pragmatic point of view, there's, you know, there's not a whole lot of point in our government duplicating function among departments that could work together, but there are practical implications about, you know, accountability and transparency when, for example, the GCSB is doing work for the police.
Yeah. John Key today said that without the GCSB spy agency amendment bill being passed, New Zealanders won't be safe in an event like the Boston bombings. Can you see the flaw in that argument?
Well, in an event like the Boston bombings, we're obviously not safe already.
The Americans weren't safe, and their intelligence apparatus, they are gigantic. They are, I'm going to use the word, they are awesome by comparison with ours, certainly. You know, they are the granddaddy of all, you know, kind of bloated intelligence operations.
If an intelligence
and
organization
they didn't
that
intercept
big,
the Boston bombings.
If an intelligence organization is that big,
yeah.
Surely that at some point making something larger actually decreases its effectiveness, doesn't it?
Law of diminishing returns.
Well, no, kind of like it the other way, because you end up scraping. It's like the thing about people believing that the NSA is capturing all internet traffic.
Yeah. Where would they put it? I don't think there actually is such a thing as the capacity on Earth to do that.
Of course there isn't. But, you know, or just every email that's sent and received through, you know, I don't know, whatever.
They must have a lot of spam.
Well, yeah, and the problem is that the more of that you have, the more difficult it is to find the actual things that are useful within it.
That's right. The noise level would be too high.
Noise becomes really high compared to the signal.
You've got to focus your camera before you take a photo.
So when people were critical of the US intelligence services not knowing about the Boston bombing ahead of time, the problem is probably that they would, you know, sure these people had shown up on their radar in the past, but then so had thousands and thousands of other people.
Yeah, and we know from the no-fly list that there are thousands upon thousands of people who have absolutely no connection with any kind of... I mean, they're not going to do any wrongdoing in their life. I mean, there are like three-year-old children on the no-fly lists and the watch lists and so on.
Yeah, and of course you can't assign an intelligence analyst to every single one of them just in case something happens.
And that's why it's kind of, you know, old-fashioned policing seems to be the trick in most cases, you know. Human intelligence... Right,
and luck.
That seems to be luck is part of it, but also not being afraid of stuff that doesn't happen very often. Because, you know, I say the Boston bombings, and you know exactly what I'm talking about because it doesn't happen every day. It happened once ever.
Yes, and the other thing is,
it's not something to be afraid of.
On the other side of it, though, there are, I'm certain, many successes of the various intelligence agencies, probably even New Zealand's, that we simply don't know about, and can't know about, and won't know about.
Well, GCSB sure did manage to intercept Kim.com's communications pretty effectively.
Very successful.
Illegally.
Well, whoops.
Whoops.
Whoops. Let's just change the law. That'll fix that.
And well, it doesn't fix it because... And now here's my issue with just kind of moving the goalposts. There's an old saying, you know, give someone an inch and they'll take a mile. And I think that's what policing agencies and intelligence organizations do. They will take everything they're entitled to and then push a little bit further. So if we just keep giving them actually more privileges, they're just going to keep taking more and more. They're just always going to go, they're always going to push the bounds that we set for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's an issue.
Now, I mean, obviously I'm saying there's a slippery slope thing, but I'm not saying it with no evidence. We know that they did that previously. They were illegally spying on New Zealand citizens. They were doing that. They got caught doing that. And that's not distant past stuff. That's last year and possibly still this year.
It's like 2 years ago now, isn't it? It's been fucking ages.
God, it has actually been kind of dragging on. It's still not ancient history, though. You know, you get my point. It's not something that happened in the far distant past.
No, and it's something that no matter what will happen again. But there needs to be, you know, that stuff needs to be properly.
And do we need them to be spying on New Zealanders at all? Is there actually a job that we want done? Especially if part of the purpose is for sharing it with corporations.
Well, that's what I've not been clear about, though. How much is it actually about sharing with corporations? Because that's obviously something, you know, you hear that and you go, well, that's not fucking right. But is it?
Well,
is that supported? I mean,
it keeps coming up. It keeps being mentioned.
Yeah, so do a lot of things on the internet.
Well, I mean, I suppose that's true. But just because there are such things as conspiracy theories doesn't mean there are also conspiracy facts around.
What?
What? Beg your pardon?
What?
What?
Yeah. What's Should that? We talk about Snowden?
We could talk about Snowden.
Tangentially related.
I suppose that's true. Oh, God damn it. Something has an auto-starting video somewhere. Who was it there? God damn you, stuff.
It's always stuff.
It was already five tabs further over. Because there is actually a related story about the TPPA. The TPP? What's it called now?
Trans-Pacific
Partnership Agreement. So Alan Grayson, who is a congressman from Florida, so
okay.
I can't even imagine the crazy shit he gets up to.
It's probably on bath salts, but let's carry on.
He is the first congressman to get a look at the text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently.
I saw the headline for this. I didn't read the article.
And he says this agreement hands the sovereignty of our country over to corporate interests.
That's the sovereignty of America to corporate interests.
Exactly.
Goodness, what the fuck does it do to the rest of us?
And precisely. So, I mean, they are the guys who seem to be driving it. Like, New Zealanders started it, I think, TPP.
Did we?
Yeah. I think New Zealanders started it. And it was meant to be kind of... Yeah,
really?
Yeah, absolutely. It was meant to be like us and Vietnam. And then it just kept on growing and growing and growing. And then the Americans got involved. And then all of these intellectual property things started getting added, and patent stuff started getting added, and surveillance stuff started getting added. And it's just started kind of going absolutely insane once the Americans got involved. You know, because they're the big guy at the table. At every table, they're the big guy at the table still. Not for long, of course. China's kind of the second biggest guy and soon to be the biggest guy. So he describes it as NAFTA on steroids. Now, I don't actually know really about NAFTA. I think that's just Canada,
North America, US, free trade
and Mexico. Agreements. And I don't know that that's necessarily a big deal. That doesn't seem to have caused those countries to collapse. But he says that there's no national security purpose in keeping the trade agreement secret.
No, no one's claimed national security in keeping it secret, though. They've claimed... commercial sensitivities and things like that. That if we tell you
but that's not just. It can't be commercial sensitivity.
No, not
it can't be, because this is between governments.
But they have to be able to negotiate it without something. I don't.
Without oversight?
No. Without people getting
without any kind of democratic input.
Finalized.
But people are getting worked up in the absence of information. And so if they're afraid of how people would respond once actually getting the information, can you imagine how bad that means it must be? Because a lot of people are very upset about this, even without knowing exactly what's in it. So you'd think that if it wouldn't be fuel to the fire for them to release the actual text, if it would actually mollify people to release the text, they would. The fact that they haven't, I feel like that's an indicator of something.
So who was the person?
Alan Grayson.
Right. So in the 23rd of May, this is last year,
yeah.
A US senator introduced a bill that would require the Office of Trade Representatives to disclose the TPP to members of Congress. And this is a quote. It said, "The majority of Congress has been kept in the dark on the substance of TPP negotiations, while representatives of US corporations like Halliburton, Chevron, Pharma, Comcast and the Motion Picture Association of America are being consulted and made privy to the details of the agreement. More than 2 months after receiving the proper security credentials, my staff is still barred from viewing the details of the proposals that USTR is advancing."
See, that's a senator. This is a congressman. What's going on?
Who knows? So there you go.
Corporations can get access, but corporations they actually don't get to write our laws. I mean, obviously they have been, but that's not a right that they have to do that. And I don't think it's a privilege that we should extend to them. It's not in our interest for them to do that. Not on any plane of existence. Not on Earth 619 or even on Bizarro Earth.
Bizarro Earth.
Yeah, everyone has. Well, I mean, I'd be clean shaven, but everyone else would have a goatee.
Totally.
So let me tell you about the most misleading story of all time.
Next story.
That was actually the most misleading introduction I probably could have done. Now, tell me what you think that this is going to be about. Electric plane motors could save fuel and reduce delays.
It's about sex toys.
No, it is about planes.
Oh.
Electric plane motors could save fuel and reduce delays.
It's about radio control planes. I don't know. You've put
it's about passenger planes.
Well, you put me off with your misleading thing.
All right.
You're misleading.
All right. So now assume that there is nothing misleading about this at all. Electric plane motors, electric aeroplane motors for passenger aircraft could save fuel and reduce delays.
Okay. Well, that sounds, I mean, that looks the just what the headline says then.
What's that?
Well, though, if we put electric motors in planes, they'll save fuel and reduce delays.
Yeah. Right. So we'll have electric motors and they'll fly from Auckland to Wellington with like battery power or something, right? Or like hydrogen, whatever's. Right.
Sure.
These are electric motors that operate the wheels while they taxi around on the ground.
Ah-ha-ha-ha.
Motherfuckers.
Well, that will save fuel.
Mm.
And it, I don't know about reducing delays, maybe.
Might. I guess it might.
Well, is that for, maybe reduce delays from like the pushback from the gate and stuff? Is that what they're saying? Because you don't need to get the little carty thing to push you back from the gate.
It will cut fuel consumption by more than 150 gallons per day.
That's not that much.
It's not enough, is it? It's not even close to enough. You misleading bastards. I mean,
every time I'm on a plane and it's taxiing, I just stop and think to myself for a moment, holy shit, this little thing's being driven along the tar seal at like, you know, 5 kilometers an hour by gigantic jet engines that were moving me at 900 kilometers an hour not that long ago.
They sound fantastic, don't they?
I love it. It just freaks me out every now and again to just think like how much or how little of the power it's using at that point.
Yeah.
Like if you're looking at the throttle controls, they're just like at like 2% or something.
And what would happen to your car if that amount of force was applied to the rear wheels? I mean, this thing that is barely making the plane crawl along.
Yeah.
It'd be a hell of a thing.
Next story.
This isn't actually a news story. This is a Tumblr that
I'm not sure we should. Okay.
No, we shouldn't do a. We shouldn't. Well, Tumblr.
What is it? Is it boobs?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Cat picture?
No.
Okay. Carry on.
It's called Hair Apparent. It's hairapparent.tumblr.com, and it is about hair salon names.
Oh wow.
So I'll give you a few. I haven't gone through and got like the best. I'm just going through the front page. Blown Away.
Yep.
The Head Shed. Have you ever heard of any good ones? Sheer Image.
Oh, you see them occasionally. You think, wow, that's just fucking not very clever.
Here We Are. Herari. I don't know. I don't even know what that.
Like Ferrari. I see what you did there.
Sheer Compulsion.
There's one called Chop Shop.
Chop Shop.
I bet there's fucking shitloads called Chop Shop.
Sheer Jazz. His Hair and Hers. I don't even actually. I've gone off this since I added,
no, it's
since
ruined.
I added it to
Shit.
The list. I've
what
gone
are you,
off it.
What are you wasting my time on this?
I've gone off it.
Two pages
I'm
of
sorry,
post.
I regret it.
This is the shittest Tumblr ever.
I regret it. Can we
just all make an agreement now that we just forget the last minute and a half?
I'm sorry about the Tumblr story. God, Tumblr's shit. I wonder if there is an equivalent on WordPress.com. I bet it would be good. I bet it would be better somehow. Really, I guess the truth is Tumblr really is just for porn, because that was a waste of time. I'm sorry, everyone.
Next story.
He-Man's Stinkor figure still stinks 30 years later. I don't really care about that.
Oh, was that a smelly toy?
It's a smelly toy from 1984. And it's still, like, if you can find an old one of the old figures from 1985...
God, what the fuck does it smell
it
like?
It still smells. Now, they say that it was actually... Oh, what was the stuff?
What makes it
smell
that?
It's a hippie. It's one of those hippie things.
I fear anything that smells that bad, but that long.
What's it called? stuff. Oh my god.
I didn't even know where you're trying to go.
I can't remember the word for tofu. The thing. The scent. The scent. The added to. Anyway, they added the stuff. Yeah, it's something weird. It's not sandalwood, but it's one of those hippie oils, one of those.
Right, so it's an incense of some sort. That's what you're going at.
That's right. And they added it to the plastic.
Okay, sure.
Now, the reason I wanted to talk about this though was because at the same time as that one was released, Moss Man was also released. That was another He-Man action figure.
He-Man was awesome.
Fuck He-Man. He-Man was the worst. But Moss Man was awesome. I mean the
universe, not necessarily specifically He-Man or Adam, Prince of Eternia.
The universe was terrible. But Moss Man was really cool. Now, Moss Man also smelled, but instead of having whatever stuff that was added to Stinkor that I'm embarrassed, I can't remember what it was, that crappy oil. Patchouli! Yeah. It was patchouli!
All right, sounds awesome.
Believe it or not, patchouli was added to Stinkor to make him stink. They added some kind of pine scent to Moss Man. Now, I don't even particularly remember that. I remember him smelling quite bad. But I also know that because he was so well camouflaged, like the first day I played with him, I lost him in the garden forever. And I don't know where.
Oh, no. Have you been back?
No.
You should go looking. You should launch a search.
I mean, I guess I could. I really want to get a Moss Man, a replacement Moss Man.
Go back. Go back and find him.
I think that was in Dunedin.
No, it's not good enough.
Might have been in Christchurch.
Oh, no. Find out where it was.
Moss Man, my beloved Moss Man. So he was covered in, you know,
moss,
but sort of moss, plasticky moss.
Yeah,
some kind of moss analog, but made of plastic.
Next story.
I want my Moss Man.
Highly cancerous. That's what I'm saying.
Patchouli.
Hey, did you see the BuzzFeed patchouli. 8 things we eat in the US that are banned overseas?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't waste your time with that then.
Go on. Is one of them a food coloring that's made from petrochemicals?
Yes.
Is one of them some kind of artificial cream that like instantly causes colorectal cancer?
Probably. It's just this. Okay, so I'll read the head. One artificial food dye makes your food pretty, but can inhibit nerve cell development. Why it's dangerous? Artificial dyes are made from chemicals derived from petroleum.
Naturally.
Olestra, which is fake fat.
Anal leakage.
Yeah, anal leakage and limit vitamin absorption. It's banned in the UK and Canada, apparently.
So it's like rabbit in a pill.
Yeah, brominated vegetable oil makes food dye stick to liquid. It's found in sports drinks and flavoured waters, that sort of thing.
That sounds weird.
Bromine is a chemical used to stop carpets from catching fire, so you can see why drinking it may not be the best idea.
But it means your intestines will be prevented from catching fire, presumably.
Potassium bromate or brominated flour, great for impatient bakers, bad for your kidneys. Derived from the same harmful chemical as brominated vegetable oil, brominated flour is used to decrease baking time and reduce costs. The only problem is it's linked to kidney damage, cancer, and nervous system damage.
Is there anything in the story about pork?
No. Bleaches flour, plastic, and induces asthma as an added bonus. It's used to bleach both flour and foamed plastic. So, you know, there's that. It's banned in Australia, the UK.
I mean, what's the point in bleaching flour?
BHA and BHT, waxy preservatives linked to cancer and tumours, used to keep food from becoming rancid. Butylated hydroxylone and butylated hydroxin, something else, are known to cause cancer in rats. And we're next! !
That sounds like a nasty threat. I think they should take that back. I don't want that to happen.
It's banned in the UK, Japan, many other European countries.
What about New Zealand? New Zealand's not in Europe.
Growth hormones bad for cows and people, potentially causing infertility, weakened muscle growth, and a whole array of cancers, and arsenic.
What is arsenic in?
Arsenic used in some chicken feed to make meat appear pinker, fresher. Arsenic is poison, which will kill you if you ingest enough anyway.
Wait a minute, but why do you want chicken to be pinker? I mean, when I see pink chicken, I assume that it's going to poison me.
Well, I read this article because it was posted numerous times. It turned up on my Facebook wall, and I read it and I went, that sounds like a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it turns out it is a lot of shit. Someone who actually understands things, a PhD in organic chemistry, I went through all of the points on the thing and said, this is dumb.
Yeah.
And explains why. And in summary, in most cases, it's A, that we're afraid of things that are artificial for no good reason.
Yeah.
And B, it's not understanding the difference, well, not understanding the concept of toxicity, whereby something may be toxic in a very large dose, but obviously isn't in a small dose.
Yeah.
For example, water.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's a great. I'll get you to post the links for this and the debunking of it.
You better send it to me so I can put it into the rundown.
Well, clearly I will do that. I'm not just going to do, you know, expect you to somehow ESP find it or use Google or something. Clearly.
I appreciate it.
Anyway, so there you go. It was a thing I saw this week and I was like, oh, god damn it. I see a lot of things like this. Did we talk about this? About being an informed internet consumer and just looking at things and just
critical thinking? Yes, we just spoke about critical thinking.
Does this just make my bullshit sensor go off a little bit? Maybe I should just quickly Google some things and see what it says, which is what I usually do.
What it says is that stuff is all in food that's designed for poor people in the hopes of reducing their lifespans.
That's exactly what it is.
Which probably is quite important to all of us, because as technology makes more and more of our jobs unsustainable, we're all going to need work, actually, aren't we? So, you know, cleaning up the dead corpses of the poor, that might be what we're resorting to.
Problem people. Yeah, good idea.
Getting rid of problem people, that's...
Next story.
So, G-Hog, M-O, it's hard to pronounce, J-I-H-A-W-G, it's a conglomeration of
jihad
and hog.
Yep.
It's pork-laced bullets designed to, I don't even really want to say most of what this title says because I don't want any of our Muslim listeners
to be
upset about
this is what gets me. So it's pork-laced bullets so that if you shoot an Islamic terrorist while he's in the middle of being Islamic-y terroristy,
it sends him to hell.
Not only will it kill him,
yeah,
but it denies him entry to paradise because it's what's the word?
Halal.
It's the opposite of halal.
Yeah, the opposite of that. Haram.
Haram. It's, it's bad.
Yeah.
Which, there's a number of aspects to this that really bother me.
Yeah.
One is it's just fucking strangely racist.
Haram, yeah, that's it.
Haram. Yeah. And two, I mean, obviously, presumably the people who are buying these bullets don't believe in Islam.
Yeah.
So one would assume that already, I mean, let's just assume that people who are buying these bullets are Christian. I mean, a little bit unfair, but for the most part, probably. They would already assume that shoot them with any bullets, shoot an Islamic person with any bullet, and they'll go to hell because, you know...
They're not Christian.
They're not Christian.
Yeah.
They haven't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Saviour.
So they've created a paint that they put onto the projectile, which has got, you know, pork stuff in it.
Yeah, some sort pig of derivative stuff. Of pork in the paint.
Yeah.
It's just... I'm pretty sure I've heard of this before. Either I'm not sure if it was productized or if it was just some horrible racists on the internet. I don't know.
Are you going to mention the idea that in Israel they have bags of pork on some public transport?
No.
So that the corpses of the suicide bombers will be mixed with pig meat and it will have the same effect?
Lovely.
Yep. Lovely.
But isn't pork also...
Delicious? Yes,
no,
and
but,
what
I mean,
a waste.
No, for Jewish people, isn't it also a problem for Jewish people?
Yes, but I guess the idea is that they don't actually touch it unless something explodes and sprays the contents of the bag around.
But wouldn't that also be a problem for I don't know about what I don't know how Jews go to heaven. I don't know what the deal is.
Automatically.
Well, obviously.
I had to make that joke. I'm sorry. If you're a Jewish listener, then and I said anything that was offensive, I probably don't really care. I probably
you
don't
do.
Care
you care much. A lot, but
I mean, I care a little bit. I didn't actually mean to cause offense with that. It was, you know, it was a little one.
We're not being offensive. Everyone
and
understands.
Honestly, fuck your religion and fuck every other religion. And that part, I'm not sorry for saying.
Yeah, basically, we're not hassling any specific religion. We just don't believe in any religions. We think they're all crazy.
They're all
but that's
stupid.
Okay.
And
you can do whatever you want.
They all want me to do something. They all want me to not say the things that I say or not touch the things that I touch or eat the things that I eat and all. say the things that I say. I may have said that twice, but they really don't want me to do that. That's for damn sure.
Next story.
Facebook. This is. I'm taking a. It's not really a.
Haven't we been on Facebook already? We're going back to Facebook.
We're going back to Facebook. Facebook adds short Vine-like videos to Instagram.
Oh, right. Okay, so it's just Instagram, not Facebook. But yeah. Yeah, Vine-like videos. Aren't they exactly like Vine?
No, they're longer. They're like 15 seconds instead of six seconds. This is all stupid.
Does it have the cool fucking thing with the app, though?
Probably not. Vine is fucking stupid and pointless. And this thing is also stupid and pointless.
You know, it's available for Android now.
Yep.
Have you installed it?
No.
Have you played? Okay. It's. I love the idea that you...
That it only records when you touch it. Yeah, I
love that part of it.
That's a cool idea, but it's also fucking stupid.
What I'd like to be able to do, I don't know if you can, I haven't really explored it. Yeah. What I'd like to be able to do is like save my videos in progress so I could make one that goes over like numerous days.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that. I'm pretty sure once you start, you have to keep going until it's finished.
I saw someone who'd made an automated time-lapse thing which had an electro something or other finger that activated the touch screen, and he could get that to very, very briefly contact with the touch screen on his phone. And so he'd set that to go off on, you know, some kind of interval.
Surely it would just be easier to like fake an upload to Vine. There must be some way to.
That probably would be easier, and it certainly would work better because this thing, because it was touching the phone for every shot was a little bit blurry. It was moving.
Yeah,
a little
jiggled.
Bit. Yeah, which you can sort of tolerate when it's only the first couple of frames of a couple of second long clip, but when it is every single frame all the way through, it's less tolerable.
Yeah, I can see that being pretty annoying.
I think Vine is stupid and pointless, and I've yet to see a good Vine posted by any New Zealander. I've seen one or two good ones posted by American comedians.
Didn't you see my one where I was getting McDonald's the other day?
No.
Oh.
And if I had, I would have said this is not a very good Vine.
Have you seen the Will Sasso ones?
Maybe.
They're my favourite so far. He just drives the car around doing Arnold Schwarzenegger voice.
Right.
It's fucking brilliant. Oh, and there's another one with lemons. Oh my God, those are the best. Actually, oh shit, you should look at them right now. I'm going to find them and send you a link. Carry on.
Okay, I'll
next story.
Look forward to that. Bubblenomics, how the Beanie Babies speculators got it wrong. Scholastic Beanie Baby Handbook, which was published in 1998, predicted values of Beanie Babies in 2008.
Oh, that's right. But people thought they were like gold.
They thought they were like gold, and people would queue up lots, and it was... And surprise, surprise, once again, just like every other time anything has ever been sold as a collectible, it is not a collectible.
Oh, that's not true. Look, the Franklin Mint makes some great stuff, and I'm sure it'll hold on to its value really well.
Zero of its value.
Oh.
Zero.
Zero. Pretty much trying to sell value. A second-hand camera for $2,000.
Less than face it, value, probably.
I priced it brand new, and the entire thing's like $800 brand, $1,800 brand new.
Right.
People have strange ideas about value.
People have very strange ideas. They think that because that's their sunk cost, that is the actual cost for another person, but it's not the replacement cost. It's our poor little brains, our sad little poor little brains. So, for instance, the Teddy Perens Violet that was born in 1994, and there were 50,000 of them, and this book estimated that there'd be 5,000 in 2008. They were sold for $5 when they were new. In 1998, when this book was published, people were buying and selling them for $700. $700 for a $5 teddy. Tiny little stupid fucking things as well. The Beanie Babies, they were stupid. They're so stupid. It estimated that it would be worth $4,000 in 2008. Surprise, surprise, not so much. The highest value asking price...
1 minute.
...on eBay is $700. But the reason you can see it is that it hasn't sold.
Yes.
And some people in the comments on this page said that they'd gone looking and they could see some of these violet things that allegedly would be worth $4,000, getting bids of like $3. Yeah. Suckers. Fools and their money. If it's sold as a collectible, it's not. Let me very quickly...
Just enjoy your Beanie Babies. Just sit them all atop your computer and just enjoy them.
Yep.
What's your auntie been talking about?
World War Z. You should go and see it because not enough people are seeing it because it got some bad press. It took a long time to make. Yeah, they had like 6 months of kind of reshooting and stuff. It got into a bit of production trouble. They had to rewrite a bunch of it. But I watched it, and it's a really quite an exciting action movie, and better than most zombie movies that we've seen before. It's kind of a breath of fresh air as a zombie movie.
I think I've only heard good things.
So you should go and see it.
One.
Good idea.
But don't bother with 3D. It's a waste of time.
Sure.
You're listening to The
see
Weekly
next week.
Show.
Goodbye.
On
Bye.
Sorry. Of course.
That was much more fun than being angry about
Watch the lemons internet. Thing. Watch the lemons thing. Watch the lemons thing.
The lemons thing. All right.
It's in both the chat room and in your Skype. You choose which one to watch.
Yeah. Hindi.
Try that again.
Hindi.
Homemade almond milk.
Water, almonds, lemons.
Lemons!
Can I get a Will Sasso?
Right, because
I don't even know where a maniac lives.
Make a left on Citrus Avenue, brother.
Citrus.
Will can't make it.
Which one? The TV show with Klugman and Randall?
No, the movie with Matthew and Lemon.
Okay, but now here's the problem. So you've presented this as evidence of how good Vine is, but this is on YouTube.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and this is 1 minute and 11 seconds long. It's not 5 seconds long.
No, but those are Vine videos. They're all every one of those is a 6 second Vine video. You can go and see them on.
And
Vine
it would would be fucking annoying to have to load separate pages for each of those.
Sure, I mean, you know, but he's posting them. You know, he's only posting them one at a time. Like, he posts one every few days or whatever it is or however long it is. He also
Listen, if Steven Spielberg posted, like, one scene at a time from his next feature film, some people would watch everyone each day and they'd be like, this is great. Wow, I'm really enjoying the narrative. I'm feeling really tense about what's going to happen in the next 3 seconds. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a reverse shot and we're going to see the face of this person that we've been watching over the shoulder from. I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. That's probably what's going to happen. And in 700 fucking days of one scene a day, one shot a day, we'll probably have a whole film. I would rather watch the film.
Sure, sure. I mean, that's legitimate too.
I mean, I know that's not exactly what's happening with Vine. Those were hilarious. Will Sasso is nailing it. That thing he does with the lemons is brilliant.
Will Sasso is a freaking genius.
Yeah. And so, look, I'm not saying that I haven't actually seen a couple of funny Vines. I'm saying that I haven't seen any good ones from anyone. I don't want it to sound like I'm hassling people. There are so few people making good Vines. That's my point. So few people making good Vines. And a bunch of people posting Vines that would be probably better off as a still.
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, that's. I really wanted Vine when I went to Vegas. I thought I could have fun with it there, but I didn't have it, and I don't know if I would have or not. Anyway, I got to go. I got stuff I need to do. By
me too.
Stuff, I mean stuff. I got to go.
All right, everybody, thank you for joining us. I'm closing off the stream, and I'm going to push a button that ends the show because it goes reep.
Fish and chats, fish and chats, fish and chats.
The show is cancelled.
Beep.